Believe it or not, this is the last Sunday of the Restore series. Pausing for dramatic effect. Wah, wah. All right. So nobody else cares about that, but I do. Whoops, I almost gave it away. So this one is the final one we've been talking about, rest or. The biblical principle of resting is to restore us. But we stop short, don't we? We just rest. We don't ever restore. I just came back from a few days at the beach with the entire family. I am restoring. I'm moving in slow motion this morning. But you get the idea, right? Today we're talking about rest that multiplies. Doesn't that sound wonderful? You do something and it gets multiplied and it's rest. More importantly, restoration. How does that work? Well, it works with a trivia contest. You'll notice the pinwheel has been the overarching metaphor for this entire series, and I'll tell you why at the end. But the important thing that you need to know right now is that you too can win one of these in the trivia contest that's coming up, right? And there's another one. So here's the first trivia contest. Who can make the TVs work? Who can name this person? He's famous. What was it? So, looks like you're coming home with me, buddy. Okay. Let's try this then. If you don't know who this is, I'll tell you his name. Tenzing Norgay. Ring a bell? Oh, I heard something. Sherpa. Holy cow, who knows that stuff? Only Chris, apparently, right? So specifically, what did he do that made him unique among all Sherpas for all time? The first Sherpa on the top of Everest. You get one, and you get one. That's awesome. This is Tenzing Norgay, that you didn't even know his name, right? You know nothing about this guy, but here's the guy that we all know and love. Who's that? Sir Edmund Hillary. Now, see, if I had led with that and then showed his picture, you would go, oh, well, that's the guy, the Sherpa that took Hillary to the top of Everest. But nobody knows his name. Now, here's the interesting thing when you put the picture together. This is afterwards where there was much celebration, by the way. But who do you think did the heavy lifting to get to the top of Everest? No pun intended, right? These Sherpas are incredible. I don't know if you know anything about Sherpas, but their ancestors have been living at altitude for years. They have a higher level of nitrous oxide in their blood that allows them to operate efficiently in low oxygen situations. That's the guy you want on top of Everest. They can also carry about, I don't know, 10 times their body weight. It's what it looks like because they carry, I mean, it's bigger than they are. And they're schlepping up a mountain, by the way. And they're expert mountaineers. Why? Because that's where they live. This is normal for them. Now, what you may not know about Tenzing Norgay, because frankly, who knows anything about him, right? So by the time he went with Sir Edmund Hillary to the top of Everest, to that date, he had been the one who had been the highest of any human being until Everest was summited, because he had tried six different times before with other expeditions that hired him to take to the top. None of them made it, except this one. And I don't know that we would be saying Sir Edmund Hillary's name if it weren't for Norgay. Because at one point in this climb, this expert mountaineer, who, by the way, was leading the way, it wasn't Sir Edmund Hillary going out there, I'm an expert mountaineer. He was, actually. But he was like, your turf, your game, you go. And he did. And so because of the security and the expert mountaineering that Norgay had, when Sir Edmund slipped and began to fall, guess who caught him? That guy. Right there. But we don't even know his name. So what's the point in all of this? The point is not the load that you carry, it's the way that you carry it. And it's not necessarily you carrying it, it's who do you get to help you carry the load. You may not even know their name, but they're out there. They're doing this every day. We just don't see them all the time. Some of them are sitting in this room and we're celebrating you today. And your name may not be known amongst us, but your name is known by the one that counts. Here's the thing. As we go through our lives, this is what it feels like sometimes to try and live the spiritually active life. We're told to participate, to help the poor, to help, give. What's left for you? And if we do this, sometimes you look like that. I actually do look like that frequently. So I'm praying. I'm not sleeping. I'm praying. But you can go through the motions and you can run out of energy. You can run out of whatever you want to fill in the blank with. You can run out of patience. You can run out of love. You can run out of all the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because you're not operating in the fruit of the Spirit. You're operating of your will and your strength. Ask me how I know. Not only am I a member of that club, I'm the president, right? I've been there. I am there. Who am I kidding? This is what it feels like sometimes to live a spiritual life of our own strength. And so we do things like, you know, we just put on a brave face. You know, we're just going to make it happen. We're going to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and go be a good Christian. And we're going to sing, I don't know, this little light of mine. Sing with me. I'm going to let it shine. Come on. This little light of mine. I'm feeling lonely. I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, you know the song, right? You know that that's what we're supposed to do. But this is how the song often comes out. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And you end up like this. Please don't be this person at Union Chapel. If you feel like you're burning out, let me know. There's help for you. And by the way, it's not me. But I know a guy. I know a way. And I know the guy's way. That's the answer to prevent this burnout. So like I said before, and this is actually a quote. How many know who Lou Holtz is? Okay, great. That's almost as good as Tenzing Norgay. But anyway, Lou Holtz was a famous coach, and he said this: it's not the load that breaks you down, it's the way you carry it. And so where we're going in Scripture today is to look at a people group who put a serious load on others. And Jesus noticed this. So Jesus had something to say about this. The people I'm talking about is the Pharisees, yeah. Jesus had some very interesting conversations with these guys because he talked about, you know, you guys make these converts and you put these tremendous loads, this heavy-duty religion with all the rules that you've added to God's word, and you don't lift a finger to help them. You just put these burdens on them, and then you guilt them because they're not following the rules. Who could? What human could possibly follow all of those rules that they came up with? The answer? None. But here's the interesting thing. Who's supposed to follow all those rules? The answer, none. That's the point of Jesus, is it not? That's the point of grace. That's the point of forgiveness. We live in freedom, and I'm getting ahead of myself, so I got to stop or I'm going to give away the punchline. But this, listen, we live in freedom. We don't live under burdens. That's the important thing that we're going to take away from today. So as we listen to Jesus' words, and again, he doesn't mince words. He basically told them that, well, there are kids in the room, so I won't tell you exactly. Isn't that funny? You can't say exactly what Jesus said because there's kids in the room? That ought to tell you something about this spicy character. He was no flower on the wall. No, but he had some very specific words to say about how they put these burdens on people and then didn't lift a finger to help them. And this is what he said. He was actually talking to the people around him. And as I do this, I need to put up the question of the day. I almost forgot. We're going to be reading from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And as we go through the rest of this, I know that everybody is carrying a certain load. So I want you to try to discern today, how do I lighten that load? And hear me on this. I'm not saying, how do I get out of work? I'm not saying, how do I do less and just kind of shrink away? It's no, how do I walk fully in Christ and lighten the load? It's possible. Listen to this. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. These are the words of God for the people of God, and for these words we are grateful. Amen. Did you hear everything that he said there? That was just a short two little verses, but it is so packed with words, and I want to unpack some of these words as we go. The first one is, come where? To me, to the person of Jesus. Somehow we have this amazing capability as humans to layer on things that God gives us, to make them more complicated and less accessible. Have you noticed this? Like if you're a Christian, that's one thing. But if you're a super Christian, you pray for so many times a day and you only walk so many steps on Sunday. And 613 other Pharisaical laws that I could think up, if you got time. You want me to go through all of them? What's the point, right? No, we're not going to follow those. That's not the way this is designed to be. Come to me, the person of Jesus. If you have questions about what religion should do for you, don't look at the rule book. Look at the Jesus book. This is the Jesus book. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't rules that we follow. I'm not saying that we cast off restraint, because guess what? That's in here too. The people who cast off restraints, what happens? They perish. That's not the goal either. But here's the thing. When we love Jesus the way that he loved us, the rules are no longer necessary because we're living in perfect alignment with Jesus' will. Against such things, there is no law. When you love God and you love neighbor. Now, that sounds easy to do. It's incredibly hard to actually fulfill. It's easy to grasp, mentally hard to live. But it starts with coming to him and then learning from Jesus. When people tell you things that you should do in the name of religion, ask yourself, did Jesus say that? Did Jesus do that? Study Jesus like you're a biographer. Right? Not as a, okay, this is an interesting history book. I'm just going to read through and get a couple of lessons out of here. No, I mean study like you're a private investigator trying to figure out who this Jesus guy is. Like you're going to write his biography. Not just what he did. Those are facts. Anybody can find those. You can Google those in a second. Why did he do that? How did he do that? When did he do that? Where did he do that? What was he all about? What's his central message? If I had to sum up Jesus in one sentence, could I do that? There's an interesting challenge. Sum up Jesus in one sentence and see where that leads you. And you'll find that Jesus is unique to any other human being that has ever been on this earth. Why? Because he was not just human, but fully God. How many people can fit that bill? None, right? How many people said that they were going to die and 3 days later came back to life and actually did it? Answer, none. This Jesus is unique. This Jesus is worth coming to and learning from. But here's the thing he says about rest. Notice what he says. I will give you a nap. I will give you a mat and some soft music, and you can snooze for a while. You'll wake up refreshed. No, he's talking about a whole different level of rest. He's talking about rest for your souls. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if I did, I bet I'd get an interesting response to this. Is your soul weary? Don't answer. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Is your soul weary? Is your soul exhausted? Is your soul tired? Because if it is, it affects everything else. And we can try to push through it. We can try to go with willpower and strength. But if the inner core is what's worn out, it's a matter of time before it makes its way out. You'll see it in actions. You'll see it in the words that we choose. You'll see it in road rage. You'll see it in shopping cart rage. Has anybody experienced this? It's like road rage in the shopping, in the supermarket. Like, oh no, you didn't just pull in front of the thing I was looking at. It's real, people. It's real. Be warned. All right. Rest for the souls, because if we rest in the soul, if the core of who we are is at rest and is restored into the image of God, everything else flows out as well. And it flows out a whole lot better than if we're weary. And then finally, take my yoke. Now, this is an interesting thing. We don't really talk about yokes much anymore because we're not farmers. But if I had a team of oxen and I had a yoke, you would see exactly what I'm talking about. This yoke goes around both of the animals that are going to pull this plow that plows the field and feeds people, right? So here's the interesting thing about take my yoke. He's not saying take the whole thing. He's saying come alongside me in this yoke, my yoke. Put your head in that little thing there and we're going to walk along together. Now, it's an interesting thing. This yoke of Jesus carries a lot of weight that we don't think about. This yoke of Jesus carries the weight of all the sin of the world for us. This yoke of Jesus makes death not have the last word. Not even death wins. Love wins because of the yoke that Jesus carries, and he invites us to walk alongside him. Now, there's an interesting thing, though, about yokes, especially if it's carrying a heavy load like all the weight of the sin of the world. Now, if I'm yoked with someone who's like, I don't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's a younger guy? I really got to update my references. A really strong guy, right? If I'm yoked with that dude, I'm like, man, I am good. This is awesome. He's carrying all this weight. I'm just kind of strolling. This is awesome. But then I decide, you know what? He's going that way. I don't really want to go that way. I want to go this way. And so I go my own way. Does the weight go away? No. The weight's still there. Now, what's different? You're carrying all of the weight by yourself. Let me know how that works out for you. How do I know? Not only am I a member, I'm the president. I've tried to carry so many loads so long that I should be actually 6'5", but I've been compressed, right? In my soul, right? Maybe you have too. This is an interesting thing, this idea of yoking, because it is exponential. And this is where math comes involved. And everybody who's on summer break is going, duh, I thought school was over. No, it's not. We need to talk about, do we need to divide or do we need to multiply? Because remember, this is rest that multiplies. What's the difference, Bill? Well, when you walk with Jesus, it's an exponential sharing of the load. So if it was just a plus or a minus, he takes away a little bit, he gives a little bit. But when you multiply, that's not a small thing. That's like exponential, right? Everybody knows exponential. Yes. I'm not just doing semaphore up here, right? Okay, good. Everybody knows exponential. Now, here's the thing. If you walk your own way, if you decide I'm not going to follow where Jesus is leading and I'm going to do my own thing, you exponentially take away the strength that he gives you. You divide. That's not subtraction. That's division. That's exponential in the other direction, right? Math teachers, am I making sense? No math teachers. Yes. All right. So multiplication works the other way in the positive. It's not just adding a little bit. It's exponentially taking that load and making it possible for you to bear tremendous weight under God's guidance. He shares the yoke. But here's the thing. See, in the world, we look at these two different choices. And Jesus says things like, I will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. And he goes in that direction. You say, whoa. This was not for me. This was not in the brochure, Jesus. I'm supposed to be happy and full of joy and have no problems when I follow you. Why are you trying to drag me down this road that is now dark? That's what it looks like to our eyes. It doesn't look like that to his eyes. Wherever he leads is the best place to go. Wherever you are next to him, yoked with him, is the best place to be. Even if it looks tremendously bad on the outside in the eyes of the world, that is the best place to be. Yoked next to Jesus, walking in step where he goes. The problem isn't the path. The problem is, where do we try to make our path? He will lead you to some uncomfortable places. That's just the nature of things. Sorry, I hope I didn't break any bad news to anybody. That's the way this works. But he walks with us. So that makes him unique among all leaders. There's never a time he won't be with you, no matter how bad the road. There's never a time he won't be walking right beside you, bearing that weight, no matter how dark it looks. And as I said, not even death wins when Jesus is present. That ought to be something to hang on to. That's something worthy of being yoked to. And that's the point that we need to make this morning. It's exponential. So I went the wrong way. That's me, not you. So finally, there are basically three kinds of people. And this is going to take some high-tech display here. Don't tell my wife I stole the hairdryer this morning. She probably found out when she woke up. She's at work right now. I hope she looks awesome. Anyway, so So here's the thing. There are three kinds of people. We've been using this idea of the pinwheel as the overarching metaphor, right? This is the way that we were created. This is the image in which we were formed. This is the image of Christ. I bet you didn't know it looked like a pinwheel, but it does. Here's the thing. We let go. We try to do things and conform to the world because the world says we should be a square, not a pinwheel. We should expand our territory inside this shape and fill it. You only live once. Go for the gusto. Fill this square. And this is the world. What happens when we let go of how we were made and we don't reconform to the image of Christ is we get sometimes a hybrid. So there are three kinds of people. Formed in the image of Christ, shaped by the world, and then there's the rest of us. Am I right? Yeah, you don't have to nod. I know. Why? Because I'm with you. Okay, I'm going to turn this on. It's going to get loud, but I wanted to basically do a demonstration of how well the Spirit, which is like the wind, when it blows, how well it's impacted by all these three different kinds of people. We'll start with those who are fully into the world, shaped by the world, measures of success by the world's standards, look good on the outside, not conformed to the image of Christ. Here we go. Anybody as excited as I am? Right? The Spirit's not going to flow here. You're not going to experience a peace that passes understanding. You're not going to experience a love that always wins, a presence that never leaves you. When we fold back into the shape by surrendering, by repenting, by turning away from the things that shape us of this world and shape us like Christ, then we have a whole different experience. Actually, this will be fun. That's what you get to take home, Chris. And then there's the rest of us, right? Oops, that's not the rest of us. This is the rest of us. We'll give God some of it, but we don't want to give all of it because there's a couple things I just want to hang on to. These are my things. This is my space, God. Don't interfere here. I'll give you my finances, but not this other thing. Or I'll give you my kids on some days. I'm just, yeah, you can have them. No. I didn't mean that. So here's what it looks like when we partially give ourselves to Christ. That's a lot of maneuvering just to try to get a little movement. Did you notice it was fit and starts in a lot of unrest? I'm trying to find my place and I can't. Why? Because I'm not wired the way I'm supposed to be. It has nothing to do with the Spirit. The Spirit is a spirit. It's always there. It's always blowing. It's always speaking. Are we equipped to receive it? Are we equipped, more importantly, to let it flow through us and work through us? I think you already know the answer to that. But here's the other thing. We're going to summarize where we've been in this whole series. Because you see, the first step was to be restored. That's through repentance. We return back to God. We get into this shape, and through repentance and returning to God and His ways, come and learn from me, we look more like this. And when we do, that's the shape that we were designed to be, so that when the wind blows, the Spirit blows, we're equipped to handle that. Who's powering all of this? It's not us. It's the Spirit. Right? So you want to know how to carry a heavy load and not have any strain? This is your missing ingredient. But it's the irony is it's always there. We just aren't equipped to deal with it. So when you get restored, you get restored to the shape that you're in. Remember the airplane that we talked about? They dug up from a glacier. They restored it. It was wonderful. It was a beautiful static display. But what's the problem? Planes are not meant to be static displays. They're meant to fly. So then you have to renew. And when you renew, you give it all the energy and everything that it takes to be what you were made to be. You were made to be a disciple of Christ. You were made to be a bearer of good news. That's renewal. There's your energy. That's what happens. And now finally, today is the capstone is my favorite part. We're released. We're not under any constraints to be formed by this. We're not under any judgment by whether we match the world's standards or not. We're not under the weight of sin, of anything else. We don't even have to worry that death has a final answer. I don't know how many times I can say that, how many ways I can say that we are free. If you know the Son and you know the truth shall set you free. Welcome to being released. Doesn't it feel wonderful? Doesn't it feel great? Can you feel that the Holy Spirit might move differently in you when you do all this? One last question. And this is an important one. We have to decide now. What are we going to be? Are we going to be conformed by the world and look good for a time? Or are we going to be fully given up to Jesus? Or are we just going to continue with the way things are because it's kind of working, but kind of not? Only one of these is Spirit-powered. The rest are self-powered. So my question and my challenge and my invitation to you is, are you going to be self-powered or Spirit-powered? The choice is yours. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness that the cross brings us. We thank you that the weight of sin and even death itself is lifted from us and does not impact us eternally. God, help us to restore into the image for which we were created. Help us to repent, to turn from the things that keep us from that shape in which you made us. Help us to set aside the things that the world tells us important, but you don't. Help us to come to you, to learn from you, to take the yoke with you. And God, should we be tempted to stray in another direction, remind us gently, as only you can, that you have the yoke that is easy and the burden that is light. That's something that is found nowhere else. So we don't need to look anywhere else. When we feel weary, when we feel exhausted, when we feel worn, we don't need to look anywhere else except to the yoke that is easy and the burden that is light. And the person of Jesus Christ, powered by the Holy Spirit. God, help us to be mindful. Help us to remember it's not about all the things this world can give us. It's about all the things you have already given us. Return us, restore us, renew us, release us. In Jesus' name.